Thanks for listening in today to our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we'll be continuing our study in the book of James. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
Jesus himself said, he says, you will know them by their fruit. Okay, you'll know them by their fruit. That's why when I see many of you here, I'm going, that guy's a believer, she's a believer, they're a believer, that whole family, they love the Lord. Because I see what you're doing, and I see you bearing fruit. And there's others of you that I go, hey, here's what the Word of God says, and yet you don't care. And I'm going, I don't know if they're saved. Well, Dave, you're judging. I am, because God's Word tells me that you will know them by their fruit. And so by what I see, I treat you as either an unbeliever or a very immature believer. One of the two. John is the one that says to the religious leaders of his day, says, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Where's the fruit? And so because of that, I don't know if you're saved or not because I don't see the fruit. Examine yourselves. Paul admonishes the Galatians, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, but let each one examine his own work. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not. Paul says in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you become disqualified? What are you doing with your lives? Are you going forward in your relationship with the Lord? Where's the fruit? Do you care about the things of God? Are you involved in the purposes of God? And if you're not, repent and turn. But ask yourself, where's the fruit? Ask other people, do you see fruit in my life? Are you concerned that I'm a believer or not a believer? It is absolutely maddening to be able to approach somebody with the Word of God and have it not be received at all, but they still profess to be a believer. And I go, well, okay. But just so you know, I don't think so. How can you say that? Well, because this is what the Word of God says, and yet this is what you're doing. Explain that to me. Well, I just feel that. You realize, as a believer in Jesus Christ, none of our arguments should start with, well, I just feel. Well, I just believe. You're wrong when you start going, just so you know. All right? You're probably going to go in the wrong direction. But if you begin with why you're doing what you're doing, well the Bible says, I think you're in pretty good company there. Dave, why do you do this? Well, because the Bible says. Why are you doing it? Well, because Jesus says in the Word of God too. Well, Dave, why are you doing this? Well, I just thought that. Grow up. That's not from God's Word. But when someone presents you the Word of God, and you go, oh, man, that is so true. You're right. That's what I need to do. You're correct. Well, you're a believer. You might have stumbled along the way and everything else, but once you approach with the Word of God, you realize where you're in error and you receive that, then the Holy Spirit's inside of you. But if you can out and out reject it and stand upon what you feel and get all self-righteous and indignant before me, I fear that the Spirit of the Lord really does not dwell inside of you. And you're carried away by what? Your flesh, as we read about in Romans chapter 6. You go after your flesh when we're supposed to be going after righteousness. Examine yourselves. And so James is about to present a series of tests, which is going to show the genuineness of your faith and that it can be determined when it comes to the area of trials. John MacArthur, in his commentary, says, to test the genuineness of a diamond, jewelers will often place a diamond in clear water because a real diamond will sparkle with special brilliance. An imitation stone, on the other hand, will have almost no sparkle at all. When placed side by side, you can easily tell the difference. In a similar way, even the world can tell the difference between a genuine Christian and one who merely professes faith in Christ. You see, there is a noticeable difference in the way they shine, especially in difficult times and the trials in life. Many people deceive themselves into thinking that they are genuine Christians until their faith is tested by hardships and disappointments. How you handle troubles and hardships and the trials in life reveals whether your faith is living or dead, genuine or imitation. Man, I love that. I love that. And so James, he starts off and he's talking to the Jewish believers because of the persecution they're going through, but this applies to all of us as well because he's telling them that trials are going to be the norm. And here I am to tell you as well, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, trials are going to be the norm. And so he begins here in verse 2 by saying, "My brethren, count it all joy when you go through various trials." That's a tall order right there. The word count here is a Greek word that means to lead, to account, to govern, to rule, or have authority over. The word joy here is chara. It's a Greek word that means cheerfulness. It also means, and I love this definition, it also means a calm delight. Joy is a calm delight. I love this because what that shows is that this joy isn't a joy that your highs are highs and your lows are lows. This constancy of a calm delight in your life, that even though you're going through a horrendous trial or that you just got an amazing raise or whatever, that you don't see these highs and lows. We know what you're going through and we're praying for you, but we see this calm, steady delight in your life. So when the trials are heavy and we expect you to be dipping down, you're not, you're right there. And yet when you just got that raise or you just got this other blessing, whatever it is, you're also not up here, you're still there. You're still praising God, whether it's a storm or whether it's some other blessing that's taking place. You're just steady. This calm delight. I love that. The word fall, when you fall into various trials, is a Greek word that means to be encompassed, encompassed about. It comes from the root meaning of this word, meaning touching or concerning. It's the exact same word that is used in Luke 10:30 when Jesus tells a parable of the Good Samaritan, and he says, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves." Meaning he fell into a very unexpected situation. It was unavoidable. All of a sudden, he finds himself surrounded by thieves. It was nothing in his wrongdoing. It just happened, and it happens unexpectedly. And guess what? That's what trials are. They're going to come upon you unexpectedly. The word trials here is a Greek word that means outward trials as well as inward temptations. But because of the context being fallen apart, these mean outward trials. James does not say if you fall into various trials. He says when. It's going to happen. Know that it's going to happen, and they're going to come unexpectedly. The question is, what are you going to do about it? You could rebel, you could lose heart, you could give up, you can go down to the place of despair, but how are you going to be salt and light for Jesus Christ when you do that? You can't. You can't. Instead, we could rejoice. We could count it all joy. We could govern that. Remember, the word count means to govern, to have authority over, to lead in that way. We're supposed to count it or lead or have authority or govern through the trial with joy. That's what we're being told to do here. And we can do that knowing that God has allowed this trial to come to me, to come to you. For what reason? Two reasons, as we'll find out. One, to be Christ-like, and that is to develop us. Okay? And we'll see what the other one here is in a moment. I might not know what God is doing just yet, but I'll count it all joy. I will govern this trial in joy, knowing that through it, I'm going to find out his purpose for it. I might not know today. I might not know 6, 8, 10 months into it, but I do know that I'm going to govern joy through it. so people can see Jesus in me. I'm going to submit to it. I'm going to have patience through it. And this is what James is advocating. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The word various there means just that. It will come in every different size, shape, color, all that kind of stuff. All right? But don't rebel against it. Rejoice in it. Have joy through it. These trials are not God trying to be difficult with you. It's him trying to develop you. And that is to be more Christ-like. And yet saying he's not trying to be difficult with you doesn't mean that the trial isn't going to be difficult. It's just that God isn't trying to be contrary to you. He's just trying to develop you to be more Christ-like. And that's always going to involve suffering. It's always going to be that way. Trials are never pleasant. They are difficult. How often I've heard Christians and even myself say, I did not like that trial at all. I did not like what I had to go through, but I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. I hope I don't ever have to go through that again. But I'm glad I went through it because it changed me. I'm able to see things with an eternal perspective now, which before I could not. And so I'm very blessed that I was allowed to go through it. But I really do hope I don't have to go through that again. You know, we hear people say that. I've said it before. Remember in Hebrews 12 where it says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Do you allow for God to train you through that trial? It's a great question. There's fruit that will be produced if you allow for yourself to be trained by your trials. And that is one of the reasons why you can rejoice. That's one of the reasons why you can have joy through it. It's one of the reasons you can govern yourself to be able to show joy through it. Because you know it's going to yield its peaceful fruit. It will have its end result, and that end result will bring glory to God. And that'll be a good thing. It'll be a very good thing. And here, more specifically, we're told what that fruit is. Verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Oh. Does that have to be the first fruit that God wants to develop in us? Patience? Really? Yeah. The word knowing here means this is a knowing that can only come, I'm sorry, not from a book, from experience, because you've gone through it. That's the only way this knowing is. It's a knowing that you've experienced, and you're going to have to experience this testing of your faith to be able to produce this wonderful, wonderful virtue of patience. That word patience is a Greek word, hypomone, and it doesn't describe a passive waiting. That's not what it describes, but an active endurance. Hypomone means, it comes from the Greek, the root word hupo, which means under, meno, which means to stay, abide, remain. At its root, it means to remain under. It has a picture of someone under a heavy load and choosing to stay there instead of trying to escape or hand it off to someone else. I'll bear this burden. I'll carry this load. The philosopher Philo called Hypomene the queen of virtues. This Greek commentator, Oysterle, said that the word patience described the frame of mind which endures. And you're going to be tested in this. The word testing here means something that is tried. It's proved to be able to show to be genuine is what this word means. Your faith in Christ is going to be put to the test for two reasons. To prove that it's genuine and also to produce this amazing virtue of patience. This active endurance. That's why when we went over in Hebrews chapter 12, this marathon race that you've been called to run is going to require this, because a marathon is not easy. It's not a sprint. It's not the 40-yard dash or anything like that. And so it's going to be tested. It's a picture of your faith as a precious metal tried in the fire by the smelter God. For what reason? To see if it's genuine. The fires are going to be fires of persecution. They're going to be fires of suffering and sorrow and all sorts of things that are going to come into your life, these trials. And it's through those trials to find out if you really believe in what Jesus says. Do you really believe what the Bible says? Do you really believe in Jesus? It's going to be seen in trials. It's never seen during the good times. It can only be seen when things are difficult. It's the only way that it can be seen. I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. Genuine faith lived out, and without trials, we cannot grow and become Christ-like. Without trials, we cannot attain this virtuous thing called patience of endurance, which is so needed in our walk with Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation." So not only are we supposed to have joy, we're to glory in them, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. You know what the word perseverance means? Patience. Do you know what the word tribulation means? Trials. Saying the same thing. The trials produces the patience. The tribulation produces the perseverance. But it's the same word, hypomene. And perseverance produces what? Character. And character gives you hope. Trials and tribulations make you battle-tested. I love that. So that you become strong in your faith. You can never develop perseverance if your lives are trouble-free. I heard it once said that this will also produce tried integrity. Your integrity has been put to the test, and it's proven to be genuine. Your integrity in the person of Jesus Christ, doing what's right, letting God determine the outcome, and falling under that submission. I'm still going to do what's right. Yeah, but that's going to lead to this, and that's not going to be favorable to the flesh. That's okay. I'm still going to do what's right. And I got to tell you something. When you're tried in the area of integrity, doing what's right, letting God determine the outcome, I'm here to tell you that the immediate outcome is usually bad or not favorable to the flesh, I should say. It's a short-term hit, but it's a long-term gain. We see that in the life of Joseph. Joseph is one of the perfect examples of a man with integrity, okay, doing what's right along the way and just getting hit for it. You know, hey, I had this dream. Shh, keep it to yourself. But he tells his brothers, and it makes it look like, because it is, that he is going to rule the family even though he's the youngest. They don't like that. They're jealous of him. And so he keeps having these dreams, and he keeps bringing them up, and you just want to go, shh, just keep it to yourself. They're not going to receive that. They're not going to like that. But the foolishness of youth is that you just spout out whatever's in your mind without thinking it through. And so because of that, his brothers see a vulnerable moment. They take him and they throw him in a pit, and then they sell him to some Ishmaelites who takes him down to Egypt and then sells him to Potiphar, and he becomes a slave down there. For what reason? Because he had a dream and he just spoke what his dream was. At that point, does he say, well, forget this God that I've known. Look where it's landed me. No. He goes, okay, God's put me here. I'll be faithful to Potiphar and do whatever he asks me to do. And he does. And he's shown so faithful that Potiphar says, well, I'm going to make you steward over my whole household, my whole estate. That he does things so well, it says in God's word, that he knew more about his estate than Potiphar did. And then Potiphar's wife cast longing eyes on him. And being a young, young man, probably in his early 20s, she throws herself at him, and he says no. He says, how can I do this against my God? Not Potiphar. He saw that sin was a sin against God. Boy, if we could see that, if that could be the first thing that we see when we sin. Hey, this is a sin against God. It's not so much a sin against another person, even though it is. It's first a sin against God. And so she makes up this big story saying, well, he tried to, you know, come after me and this and that. So Potiphar throws him in jail. But I was doing what's right. Yeah. And where did it land you? In jail. But he maintains his integrity. And whatever the jailer tells him to do, he does. And then what happens? He ends up running the jail 3 years later or so, you know, because of his faithfulness. Then there's the baker and the butler, and they have their dreams. And he tells the butler, hey, remember me when you're back in front of Pharaoh, and he forgets. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a dream, and he goes, oh, I remember a guy who has an interpreter dream. And boom, next thing you know, he's given the interpreter dream to Pharaoh. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh raises him up to be the right hand there in Egypt, all within a span of like 15 years. But as he maintained his integrity, he just kept taking the short-term hit, you know? but it was for a long-term gain. That is the Christian walk in a nutshell. The short-term hit just might be earth, you know, and all that God has for you. But the long-term gain is eternity with him and the rewards that you have coming because of your faithfulness of willing to do what he says to do here. And if you can't be faithful in little things, how can you be faithful in the greater things? Jesus says in Luke 16. So you're going to have these little testings along the way, and you think, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big. God doesn't really care. He does. Unless you can be faithful in little things, you cannot be faithful much. I want to be doing this for the Lord. Okay, then you need to do this now. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Well, then you won't ever be doing those other things. And so right now, some of you here are faced with doing with what God's word says or doing how you feel. And I'm here to tell you, if you continue to do how you feel, it totally sabotages all that God wants to do in your life. Because he can't bless that. He can't bless that. I don't even know how I got on that. But I'm sure it was good. Anyway, so going back here to Romans 5, oh yeah, he says character and character hope. Yeah, you know, it's character. It's all about character, you know. Those tribulations produces that patience, that perseverance, and that produces that godly character. And godly character, guess what, is hope. And that hope does not disappoint. In verse 5 it says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope does not disappoint. Hope in the person of Jesus. Hope in what God's word says does not disappoint. If we're to hope for something, but then later find out it doesn't happen or we don't get it, then that's a hope that is disappointed. That's a hope that has been put to shame. Yet God's word tells us that our salvation will never be put to shame. We will never be disappointed or find out that we've rested on a false confidence. I do not think, and I do not believe, and I know that there's not a person in heaven today or will be in the future that will look back on their life and go, man, I wish I didn't go through those trials. I wish I didn't have to go through I wish I never went through those trials to make you more Christ-like. You think that has ever been uttered in heaven? I don't think so. Nor do I think it ever will be. Here's another statement that will never ever be uttered in hell. Okay? I am so glad that I did not commit my life to Jesus and have to go through the trials to make me Christ-like. I guarantee that has never been said in hell. Nor will it ever be said in hell. Because these trials, these tribulations that we go through, these temptations, as we'll find out later on here in James 1, these are good things because it tests the genuineness of our faith. And it's there to produce this very first virtue, that first fruit that he wants to see actually happen in every single believer's life. Patience. That strong endurance. And look what it says in James 1:4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The word complete here, or I should say the word perfect here actually means mature. Okay? It brings you to maturity. Let patience have its mature work that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. The word complete here means complete in all of its parts. It's no part is lacking or unsound, meaning it's in good working order. So you could actually read this, but let patience have its mature work that you may be in complete working order. And it begins there with this patience.
That's all we have time for today on this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Listen in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of James. If you live in the area of Castle Rock and are looking for a church to call home, be sure to come by and visit with us. We meet Saturdays at 5 p.m. and our Sunday service times are at 9 and 11 a.m. A combined junior and senior high class meets at 5 p.m. on Saturday evenings. On Sunday mornings, high school meets during the 9 a.m. service, and the junior high meets at the 11 a.m. service. Our young adults ministry, Arise, meets every Friday at 6:30 p.m. at Calvary Castle Rock. Child care is offered for all of our weekend services. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com, or you can download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you again for joining us today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.